This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. So we are privileged to have Avril Abrahams again with us for the second time today. She has been part of a restoration, recovering program, a Christ-centered program for the past year. And last time we had spoken more generally, but this time we'll be focusing on the fruit of the Christ-centered recovery program that she's part of. Welcome, Avril.
Thank you, Suki. Thank you, Frederick.
Thank you,
great
Avril.
Great to be back.
Yeah, so good to have you back. Thank you so much.
And listeners, if you missed the last program, please get it on a podcast, on our podcast. And then also, her husband spoke to us the previous two times. So, and he has shared more gems about Christ-centered recovery, if you want to go back and listen to that.
Oh, and by the way, if you're a biker, you would probably relate well with Trevor. He's in the biking community. So
yes,
get to listen to those podcasts.
Yes, and the third program of the month, we spoke to him about that, about a little bit more about the biking community. So, Avril, tell us, how did you hear about this Celebrate Recovery, the Christ-centered program that you're part of?
Okay, I think as I shared the previous occasion, I had heard Trevor speaking about it. So he was introduced to the program, and he attended. I then followed him. I then also joined after he had joined. But I must admit, Suki and Frederick, this is not a program that is really, how can I say this? It's not something that everyone knows about.
Mm.
So when I heard about it, I must admit I was very excited because of the fact that it's Christ-centered. And when I saw Trevor's Celebrate Recovery Africa book, I thought, wow, this is really amazing. And this is something that could help us going forward in terms of where we see ourselves and where we would like to be used in God's kingdom.
So what does it stand for and what is it about, CR? Celebrate Recovery.
Yes. Okay, so Celebrate Recovery is a biblical and a balanced recovery program. And this helps us to overcome our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So it is Bible-based. It has scriptures in it that guides us in terms of what we are going through. And then it also has different sections where we reflect. You know, after doing each lesson and module, we reflect on questions, and this actually guides us on our road to recovery from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think that sounds quite spot on. You know, Suki and I are also involved in Celebrate Recovery, and just as you were sharing, what came to mind was that it is not just a program that takes a few weeks and then you can tick it all off and say, I've done it. But it's a program that is worked out in such a way that, especially if you join the step groups or the step studies, that you can go through for almost a year. And so it then becomes more of a discipleship program.
Exactly.
Where people come to know themselves, the reality in their own lives, and see how that reflects into other people's lives and how other people can reflect back into their lives.
And of course, when many listeners will know by now, we often talk about the 12 steps. So a step study means a study when we talk about the 12 steps and not only talk about it, where we work the steps, where we go through it. We say, I am powerless over my own hurts and hang-ups and habits, and I cannot stop it by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And step two says, only I turn to God and to Christ. He's the only one that can help me to stop doing those things. And step three is, I give my life and my will over to Him. Because if I keep on, so I need to surrender, because if I keep on doing that stuff, if I'm going to try and drive my own life, it's going to stay the same.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the same mistakes over and over again.
Insanity.
Exactly. And then the fourth step says, I need to look at my own stuff. And we don't like that, Frederick, do we?
No.
And Avril, so it's hard to, it's always easier to look at other people's stuff. You know, I'm thinking about the verse in the Bible that says you, the speck in your own eye and
the speck in your brother or sister's eye and the beam that is in your own eye.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
So, Avril, you know, you've been involved in this program for a year, almost a year now, or just about a year. And we were saying just now that it is a discipleship, almost like a discipleship program. So how have you experienced your life changing since you've joined the program or since you joined this, this Celebrate Recovery?
Okay, my life, I would say that I've been made more aware of the things in my life that I didn't actually think was an issue. Looking at all the different hurts, habits, and hang-ups, when we talk about it in the group as as we all share, I realize that I actually had quite a few issues that I wasn't aware of. For example, control issues.
Yes.
I always like to be in control. I always like to know where things were going. You know, I like to have everything listed, you know, and that is how, and I realized that that is not part of the recovery. You know, we need to be flexible. We need to allow God to do things in our lives if we make ourselves available to Him. The other issue that I struggle with is family dysfunction. There are issues that, that have come to light that I know I need to deal with, and talking about it, even writing it down, because I have a book where I write down all my the lessons we go through and I write my, my answers in there. It gives me an opportunity to reflect. So I have become more aware of my issues, my shortcomings. And in that way, I'm actually putting myself on the path of recovery and restoration.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you were talking now about your own issues and family dysfunctions, I wonder what family doesn't have dysfunctions. I still want to meet the family that is perfect, because we're all sinful and we all have certain habits that get repeated, you know. Very interesting. If I look at the addictions in our family, my father used to have an addiction with alcohol.
And father had an addiction with alcohol.
And my brothers also struggle, or one of my brothers, or maybe both. And their children also start struggling now. So it's very interesting to see how those things are passed down. And then when I think about control that you just mentioned, I mean, that comes from Eve, right? Because who was the one that led Adam to the apple, or getting that got him to eat it? And then, of course, he was keeping quiet when he should have said no. But
Suki,
control.
Suki, you're not saying that it is only the ladies that control.
You know, well, I think we are big men, controllers.
Yeah, we men are also controllers, but we control in a different way. I was at one stage very proud that I don't control, but I do. I control with my silence and my still staper, silent spells. And so that's a form of control.
And Suki controls with her words, listeners, so you can imagine what happens. So we've been learning a lot about this. And eventually, isn't that that Christ needs to be in control, right? So if He's in control and I try to control and you try to control, imagine what a mess it is. So and that's a problem that many marriages, I mean, it's a very, very common problem.
Isn't it really, Suki, Avril, you can also make comment on this, is that when we get to step three, is surrender my life and my will to God, to Jesus. How does that work into your life, Avril?
I think for me, it's basically if I'm stuck and I don't know what to do, just to turn to God's word. And that is part of our surrendering, not doing things in our own strength, but turning to God's word for guidance, for the help that we need. And I would also say also seeking good counsel, those that we trust. It's important to have accountability partners along this journey that we can trust so that they can also keep us on track when our old habits surface.
Yes,
so it's not a journey we do on our own.
That's right. People that can be honest with us, right?
Mm.
And that we can listen to and not just defend and say, oh, this is why. Oh, I'm so good at that. This is why I'm doing this. This is the reason. Instead of listening to the problem and listen why I should not be doing it. While Frederick was talking about turning our will and our life over to God, I was just thinking, that was step three of the steps. Step 10 or 9 says, we ask for God's will and the power to carry that out. So this is something I do every day. I pray, and when I wake up, the moment when I wake up and I start speaking to Jesus, and I say, Lord, please help me today. I want to lay down my life and my will to you. And show me your will and give me the power to carry that out. Because sometimes it's hard, Avril. I'm sure you agree with me. Where I need to die in what I want so that I can surrender to what God wants.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, on that very good note, let's just take a short break, Avril. And after the break, we'll be coming back.
Welcome back, listeners. Just before the break, we spoke about the importance of if we want to have a Christ-centered life, we want to live a life of Christ-centered restoration and moving away from our sinful habits, how important it is to lay my own will down and to surrender my will before God on a daily basis. Because how can the Holy Spirit guide me if I keep on doing what I want to do and keep on my control habits that we've spoken about before?
Yeah.
And on that note, I was thinking about the importance of doing this in our own lives and just asking the Lord to guide us. Do you want to say something about this, Frederick or Avril, as part of a Christ-centered recovery program?
Yeah, I think this is vital. This is the ultimate healing and wholeness that we receive. We receive it from Jesus. We receive it from God through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that we surrender our will, it takes a lot of trust as well. In other words, we really trust that God has my back and that God is there for me. And that I matter to him. And those are all the words that come in the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery, is that we matter and that God really cares about us and what is happening in our lives. So when we surrender, we are taking a step of faith and we are knowing that that step will lead to improvement, and that step will lead to restoration and recovery and eventually redemption, because that is the path that we talk about in our program. Reality, restoration and redemption amidst not only our addictions but everything that we have.
Yeah, our hang-ups and habits.
Avril,
I want to know step 4 that says we want to become aware of our sinful patterns. It says our character defects, but it's actually the things that we keep doing wrong that we can't get rid of. How has that part worked in your life as you were doing that part of the step in the recovery program? How have you seen that play out and being beneficial for you?
Yes, I think for that part, the inventory, when we need to reflect on our character defects and the things that are deep down, as I started listing that, it actually opened up a lot of other character defects that I wasn't aware of. So I would list that, and that would make me aware of where I still need to be, that I haven't arrived yet. I'm still doing this program. I'm still working through all these principles. And now that I'm opening myself up even more, I'm actually writing it down. Now I know that these are the things I need to deal with. So this part it's not an easy part because we really have to dig deep, but it's a part that will actually take off those layers that we've been covering up Mm-hmm. And allowing us to look deep inside so that we know what we need to focus on and what our recovery still needs to be.
But I think very important is we don't wallow in that. We don't wallow in that. And it's not a question of focusing on the past and living in the past. Because step five tells us, admit it to God and to another human being. And this is the safe community that we are talking about. And
step six says we get completely ready for God to remove those things.
But that comes after we have admitted and after we've come to see the realities in our own lives.
And the freedom, right, that I experience, I don't know about you, Avril, whether you've done that step already, in telling someone else all the secrets, all the things that you, but of course that safe community where you will not be judged.
Yeah.
There's a freedom, hey, that comes with that.
Yes. And just listening to Frederick, I was just reminded that doing the inventory is also the positive things. So we must remember we need to have that balance where we don't only focus on the things that we've done wrong, but the things that we've done good as well. So that there's a balance there. So that's important. I'm just reminded of that as well. And then in terms of admitting and confessing to someone, this is where our accountability and our sponsors come in.
Yes.
So I have an accountability team. We friends and we share what we need to share. We listen, and without judging. And that is how we get through it. So we've been sharing this with one another, and in that way, it's part of our recovery as well, because that is part of how you're going to be restored through your discussing, through your engagement with others, and in a safe space. You need to actually, that's where trust comes in as well. So you I found the right accountability partners, and I do believe that they will hold me accountable as well.
Crucial.
Me that I do step out of line, because it is a journey that we are on.
Yes. And then the next step after this one is to look at these things and to look at people that I need to forgive in my life, and that that I need to be forgiven of, and maybe that I need to go back and make amends and say I'm sorry to people about things that I had done in my past.
Yeah.
And all these things help us to clear the relationship with Jesus, right? As we work on those things that we keep on doing wrong, and we go back to it. So it doesn't only help us with my relationship with Jesus, but also the relationship with myself, to get respect,
and
self-respect,
with others.
With others, for others to have respect for me when I own up my struggles and I don't just blame other people. What is your experience when it comes to this?
Yes, I think that's a very big one, and that is where I am right now. So I do know that there would have to be forgiveness and just sharing what's on my heart. This program is definitely helping me, equipping me, preparing me for that. And I must admit that I'm seeing things differently, where God has just given me an abundance of, I would say, I have patience. I step back and I look at things first before I say something. I would pray about it. And God has been so gracious in my life that he just makes things possible. And I shouldn't be amazed, but I'm just saying thank you, Lord, that you are God who knows what we need. You come through at the right time. And you just make a way. That's my experience. I can say God has really made a way where He knows my need. And I will pray it out. I will think it. And the next moment it's happening. So I'm just so grateful to God for that. So this is where that is coming in. And I think the program has helped me. So I feel that my next step would be where I feel I've had thoughts that maybe won't please God, or if I don't feel good about what I'm thinking and feeling, I need to go and ask for forgiveness. I need to go and say, this is how I felt, and these are my reasons. So please help me, you know, and forgive me, and let me see how I can help you as well. So yes, definitely.
Yeah,
I notice
you're saying that there's been real change in your life, and I think that is the beautiful thing, the blessing of entering into a Christ-centered recovery program, is that it does not only affect you, but it affects those around you. So, how did this affect your relationship with Trevor as a couple? And how did it affect your family?
Okay, for Trevor, I think, as a couple, we all have our challenges as well. This has helped me to understand him better.
Yeah.
He is very different to me. We are very different to one another. And I have come to understand him better. And I hope that he can understand me better. In terms of our family, we do have a very big challenge in our lives right now, or something we need to deal with, in that Trevor's mom is in a very advanced stage of dementia.
Oh, wow.
So she lives with us. We take care of her. And that in itself is such a journey we're on. It never prepares one. We are never, ever prepared. But through this program, there's things that I've come to try and implement, and also with him. We call one another, we almost like a tag team, so we help one another through this. And I think this program has definitely given me more insight into just the Christ-centered part, you know, the love, patience, kindness, trying to understand. And even with our son, I mean, our son also, we've had challenges with him, but and we're still on a journey, but gosh, God has come through. We're in a much better space than we were before. And whereas I would maybe have reacted in a certain way, I am now able to control that better because I understand better. What Jesus would do.
Yes.
I try to understand that and implement that in my life.
As you were talking, I remember I spoke to another lady who's also part of a Christ-centered recovery program, and she told me yesterday that she wanted to stop, and her husband said, please don't, because you're so different since she started going to that program. And she said she was going to see a sponsor, and he said, oh, but that's perfect. You're always better when you come back.
Yes. I also had a similar testimony, Suki, where one of the ladies actually said, this program has changed her life completely. She's able to face her hurt habits and hang-ups in a much better way. She's still on a journey, but she's a lot better, in a better space than she was before she joined the program.
So if listeners have questions about how they could join Celebrate Recovery, they could also call the radio station and get information it's an online, there's an online program for people. We've never done this before, but I guess we need to, because people probably wonder now how they can do this, if they would like to do that.
Yeah, so listeners, Avril, as you were speaking and talking about the challenges that you have, the Serenity Prayer immediately came to mind. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And the Serenity Prayer continues that we use in CR. I will not go through that prayer right now, because that's once again another topic that we can do.
But listeners, remember to write to us. Also, if you want to ask more information about this, Frederick Suki, one word, it ends on a K, no CK, like Frederick in Afrikaans, Frederick Suki at kpulpit.co.za. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much, Avril, for sharing your story and being vulnerable. You know, many of us often we wear masks, but we need to be able to take off those masks and share with each other that we are humans. We need Jesus. We cannot do it on our own. You've done it so beautifully. God bless you and forever in your ministry.
Thank you very much, Avril, and we'll talk again.
God bless. Yeah.
Thank you for having me on the program, Suki and Friedrich. God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.